From Austin, live music capital of the world, this is Texas Music Matters. I'm David Brown. One could make the case that Austin, Texas would be just another college town were it not for an entire culture built around music. You can trace the roots of Austin music all the way back to the city's origins. Having said that, however, something specifically happened in the music scene here four decades ago that not only changed the landscape of Austin, but it changed Texas forever too, and eventually the sound of American music at large.
You know, you got to remember, this really was a refugee scene. And what happened in Austin in the early 70s is still going on in a very real and very important way.
That change is the focus of today's edition of Texas Music Matters. We're going to be cranking up the time machine in just a moment. Stay with us.
Texas Music Matters is made possible in part by Lewis Shanks of Texas, offering fine home furnishings since 1945. LewisShanksFurniture.com.
In Austin, I'm David Brown, and this is Texas Music Matters. At the time, you got to understand, it just didn't seem to be that big of a deal. Few people understood the music coming out of Central Texas in the early 70s as a reaction to something bigger, to larger social, political, and cultural forces still stewing after the 60s. But in retrospect, well, it seems obvious. Reporter John Spong says outlaw country wasn't just a style of music, it was a generational turning point. About this time last year, Spong's story on the birth of outlaw country appeared in Texas Monthly magazine. Spong says he felt a certain urgency in gathering those interviews.
A lot of the guys that were involved in country music in Austin and in Nashville in the early 70s aren't around anymore. This was the time to act, and we got real excited and went to work right at the turn of the new year to try and see how many people we could find and how many people we could talk to and put this together.
You made reference to, in the article, to the fact that San Francisco had its summer of love. This was much more than just a season for Austin, really.
Yeah, it was. And that was, you know, Joe Nick Potoski, who's kind of the dean of Texas music writers, raised that point. And it was really cool because that's probably a more famous cultural moment. You know, I remember when I was in college at UT, there was a 20th anniversary of the Summer of Love on MTV while I was a college student. And there was this huge kind of wave of nostalgia. Everybody remembers that. Joe Nick pointed out that that was a big cultural moment, but the music from it was kind of short-lived. And what happened in Austin in the early 70s is still going on in a very real and very important way.
Without a sense of history, it's hard to appreciate what happened here 40 years ago. Once upon a time, if you walked into the legendary Broken Spoke here in Austin with long hair, and you weren't a woman, you'd get your tail kicked and a complimentary haircut on the way out.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee.
Music divided people. Country stars were for the war, rock stars were against it.
No Senator Sarsa. It ain't me.
There were outliers, of course, but the idea of hippies and rednecks together under one roof was pretty much unthinkable. That changed in 1972. Here in Austin, Texas, two cultures came together over music. That may be something of an oversimplification, as you're about to hear. But in some respects, what happened in 72 was a happy accident of both timing and geography, since Austin was literally and metaphorically situated halfway between the buttoned-down conservative country music scene of Nashville and the more decadent rock and roll circus, otherwise known as Los Angeles.
The big joke that almost everybody I talked to made, there was some variation of this comment from at least 10 different people, which was the dope was cheap in Austin in 1972. And so that factors in. You know, Steve Earle's always said the girls were prettier, the dope was cheaper, and the rent was low in Austin. You've got this perpetually renewing college population. You've got the Armadillo opening. It was not the headquarters for this movement necessarily because it was a touring place. You know, it was touring bands that were booked in there most nights.
And it started out more as a rock club than
exactly. Exactly. But it did happen, and it was a really interesting place for people to start going, and there was room to experiment in there. And so that factors in. If Willie had tried to leave Nashville 2 years sooner or 2 years later, it's not clear that he would have wound up in Austin. But all those things kind of happen at the same time. That Jerry Jeff Walker, you know, who was in, it's not the most clear thing in the story, he was in Key West, Florida, you know, getting ready to work on his next record and decided he didn't want to do that. So he's going to go to LA and maybe try it there, and happens to stop in Austin while Murphy's band is rehearsing, meets them, digs them. He decides to stay in Austin. Of course, he's never left.
Sometimes I just wake up humming, feeling like the world is right. Wanna jump right up and walk outside, taking the morning light. Feel the music running through me, makes me wanna dance, clap my hands and dance. Sometimes it just takes a lady, smiling make my day. Clap hands and tap your feet. Feeling like you know you're lucky with every single thing. Clap your hands and dance. People that tell me take it easy, you're living too fast. Slow down on Jerry, take it easy, the time will be fast.
One of the 10 essential songs of Austin's alternative country movement of the 70s, Jerry Jeff Walker's Hill Country Rain. The cliche of how Austin's hippies and rednecks came together at venues like the Armadillo oversimplifies and overlooks other cultural threads important to this story. Sure, country music was colliding with rock and roll, but the role of folk music was crucial. As the folk revival sputtered in the coffee houses of New York's Greenwich Village down in Texas, singer-songwriters like Michael Murphy and B.W. Stevenson were finding their audiences growing.
There were two like really significant events legally in the 70s that had a big effect on what was going on. And one was when liquor by the drink finally became legal, I think in the summer of 71 or September 71. And as Michael Martin Murphy points out, or pointed out to me when I talked to him, suddenly folk music is not something played in a coffee house. It's something played in a bar, and everything moves over there. To jump forward a few years, Eddie Wilson said that one of the most important cultural events of the decade was when alcohol consumption became legal for 18-year-olds. And so 18-year-olds are beer drinkers now, legally, and beer is marketed towards those 18-year-olds. And as he said, the Armadillo sold a whole lot of Lone Star beer.
More than the Astrodome is the legend I've heard.
That's the way they put it, you know. And the Lone Star guys were real smart about directly targeting that younger crowd.
In fact, shortly after relocating to Austin, Willie Nelson contacted Lone Star Beer's regional sales manager. "I want the youth market to listen to my country music, but they think it's what their fathers and mothers are doing," he told him. "You want to appeal to the youth crowd. If we work together, I think we can overcome both our problems." Before long, there were Lone Star logos everywhere, from open cans on stage to t-shirts, radio ads. The message, of course, this ain't your mom and dad's Pearl beer. Thanks in large part to Willie Nelson's marketing smarts, Lone Star became a meme for an Austin-based counterculture.
When you were driving through the country in the 70s in Texas, if there was a dead armadillo on the road, it invariably had a Lone Star in its clutches, because people would see them on the road, pull over, and stick an empty Lone Star bottle in there, which I just love.
Shotgun Willie sits around in his underwear, biting on a bullet, pulling out all of his hair. A shotgun Willie's got all of his family there. Well, you can't make a record if you ain't got nothing to say. You can't make a record if you ain't got nothing to say. You can't play music if you don't know nothing to play. A shotgun Willie sits around in his underwear, biting on a bullet and pulling out all of his hair. Shotgun Willie's got all of his family there. Was working for the Ku Klux Klan. A 6'5" John T. was a hell of a man. Made a lot of money selling sheets on the family plan. A shotgun Willie sits around in his underwear, biting on a bullet and pulling out all of his hair. Shotgun Willie's got all of his family there.
From one of the first albums labeled Outlaw Country, that's Shotgun Willie, one of 10 essential songs of Austin's alternative country movement. This hour, we're exploring the musical revolution that forever changed Texas, the birth of Outlaw Country, a collaboration with Texas Monthly Magazine. More of our 10 essential songs from that era as Texas Music Matters continues. From Austin, I'm David Brown, and this is Texas Music Matters. This hour, we're joined by reporter John Spong, who's crafted a remarkable history of Austin's outlaw country era for Texas Monthly Magazine. 40 years ago, a kind of gathering of the tribes took place in Austin. There were young people into rock music, older working class people into country music, but it wasn't just the music. It was the underlying culture that thrived in and around venues like the Armadillo World Headquarters and the Soap Creek Saloon. For many members of the counterculture, such as it was, this was their anthem. It's one of our 10 essential songs of an era that changed everything for Texas. Singer-songwriter Michael Murphy.
Burial grounds and merry-go-rounds are all the same to me. Horses on posts and kids and ghosts are spirits we ought to set free. Dim city slicker pickers, got a lot of slicker licks than you and me. But riding the range and acting strange is where I wanna be. And I just wanna be a cosmic cowboy. I just wanna ride in a rope and a hoot. I just wanna be a cosmic cowboy. Stars sifting and skinny dipping and steel guitars and stars. Just as good as Hollywood and them boogie woogie bars. Gonna buy me a vest and head out west, my little woman and myself. When they come to town, they're gonna gather round and marvel at my little baby's health.
Cosmic Cowboy Part 1 by Michael Murphy, later known as Michael Martin Murphy. It's one of 10 essential songs from Austin's music scene of the 70s. Careful with that Cosmic Cowboy label, by the way. Journalist John Spong writes about the era in the April 2012 edition of Austin Monthly Magazine.
Michael Murphy comes up with Cosmic Cowboy as a song that in his mind, you know, as he tells the story now, was to kind of goof on those hippies that were smoking dope and listening to country music.
But Ray Wiley Hubbard sees it completely differently.
Well, and that's the thing, because the people who hear that song played feel like he's singing about them, and they're proud to be them, and so it's their anthem, and they're thrilled about it. And I would imagine that Murphy was fine with, you know, the people coming to the shows to hear that song specifically. You know, that's, those are butts in the seats. But then you get to the progressive country term, which is something that KOKE came up with.
KOKE being the dominant FM station here in Austin at the time.
What happened there was one of the station managers and one of the sales managers went to the Armadillo because they heard there was something cool going on when Willie was playing there. And they looked around the room and thought, wow, this needs to be what we do musically at the station. And came up with a freeform channel that was completely unheard of for commercial radio. You know, when people describe it now and they describe the set lists, it sounds like a public radio station. It's really unusual. And they needed a name for it. And they realized that if they called it anything with the word rock in it, that it wasn't going to be, they weren't going to be able to sell it to country advertisers, which is what they had been selling to previously. They couldn't call it country rock. So then they thought, okay, let's blend those progressive country. And that's where they came up with that term. But, you know, a lot of the musicians really bristled at that, and a lot of them don't like to hear that name come up now. They referred to it as regressive country. Permissive country is what the Nashville people referred to it as at the time. You know, about that time, Jan Reed's book comes out, The Improbable Rise of Redneck Rock. Mm-hmm. Nobody was happy calling it redneck rock. And then finally, Nashville's paying attention to what's going on. They're seeing a chance to sell some records if they can just somehow harness this thing. And they come up with outlaw country. And so Nashville is the business center. That's where the smart marketing minds are. And so they came up with the term that was sexy enough to stick.
But in a way, the antithesis of the sort of system of values that a lot of Austin musicians and their fans thought they were adhering to. I mean, you know, they were supposedly anti-marketing. At least that was the way they held themselves out to.
Right. And that's the thing, because there's it's weird because you want to sell your product.
Sure.
But you don't want it to look like you're trying to sell your product.
You don't want to try too hard.
No, you can't let them see you sweat on that front. And so, but it's weird because the outlaw thing, outlaw is a romantic term, you know, and it's, that's one of the reasons it's probably stuck, because if you're a high school, college age kid, rebelling, you know, just being a kid, outlaw sounds pretty good.
Lord, it's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here? Rhinestone suits and new shiny cars. It's been the same way for years. We need to change. Somebody told me when I came to Nashville, son, you finally got it made. Old Hank made it here. We're all sure that you will, but I don't think Hank done it this way. No, I don't think Hank done it this way. Look at.
One of 10 essential songs of progressive country, Are You Sure Hank Done It This Way, recorded by Waylon Jennings. He was one of several artists marketed as outlaws to cash in on the Austin music scene. In fact, in 1976, the album titled Wanted the Outlaws, a compilation album,
became the first million-selling LP in country music history. You remember LPs, right? It's important, though, not to confuse the marketing with the movement itself, which was quite genuine. The birth of the Austin music scene of the 70s is often traced to a failed music festival that took place in March of 1972 in a big field 40 miles west of Austin. It was called the Dripping Springs Reunion.
It was supposed to be the country music Woodstock. And of course, there had always been bluegrass festivals, but the thought was the first big three-day long-term, you know, country music festival. The promoters were four guys from Dallas that hadn't gotten involved in stuff like this before. They really put together a great lineup. You know, it's Merle Haggard, it's Loretta Lynn, it's Waylon, it's Christofferson, it's Tom T. Hall, it's Willie. But it just didn't work. They didn't promote it locally. And so they were expecting 60,000 people a day at $10 a day tickets. And it just didn't happen. At the end of the first day, they had had maybe 800 people show up, just far less than 60,000. And so it just didn't look like it was working. But, you know, the legends that come out of that are that Billy Joe Shaver is backstage. Nobody really knows who he is exactly. Waylon Jennings hears him playing a guitar in a trailer and decides, wow, I want to record that song. I think he was playing Willie the Wandering. Shaver was playing Willie the Wandering Gypsy and me. And the really cool thing, though, is that Willie Nelson had a good time. And being the shrewd guy that he is, he figured he could probably do it a little better.
And so it was the birth of the Willie Nelson 4th of July picnics.
Exactly. The next year they did it on the exact same site, and they got 50,000 folks.
On the bill for that first Willie Nelson picnic, Jewel Faye Smith, better known as Sammy Smith.
Take the ribbon from my hair, shake it loose and let it fall, laying soft against your skin like the shadows on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning light. Time. Help me make it through tonight. I don't care what's right or wrong, and I won't try to understand. Let the devil take tomorrow. Lord, tonight I need a friend. Yesterday is dead and gone, and tomorrow's out of sight, and it's sad.
In 1972, Sammy Smith won a Grammy for that performance. But because of the song's open sexuality, which made conservative country radio distinctly uncomfortable, Smith became one of the few women associated with the outlaw country label. In one sense, Smith can be seen as a bridge between two worlds of early 70s country music, the Nashville mainstream and the Texas alternative. But the real hinge, the true instigator of the tectonic shift, as Texas Monthly's John Spong puts it, was someone who befriended long hairs as easily as such Texas institutions as the governor, or more prominent still, the coach of the University of Texas football team.
Darryl Royal was a huge Willie Nelson fan. He's a huge country music songwriting fan. And he said, he said, Willie, Austin's where you need to be. Willie, I think, had taken out a lease on an apartment in Houston because that's where his wife's from. And he was thinking about going there, but changed his mind and decided Austin was the place, in part because Daryl's encouraging him. When he figures out a way to get Lone Star involved and have Lone Star backing everything, you know, and promoting all the shows, when he is able to bring his friends, because he is this kind of wonderful guy, and Leon Russell was nuts about Willie, and he couldn't wait to come to Austin and hang out with Willie. When Willie wasn't selling records in Nashville, he was still writing all those great songs, and all the Nashville dudes loved him. And so he's able to say, Waylon, come to Austin. Tom T. Hall, come to Austin. Jerry Lee Lewis, come to Austin. And they all can't wait to get here. And then it just does work out.
How much of this is an indigenous Texas story versus one of sort of a bunch of different tribes from all over kind of converging on Austin?
Steve Earle said, it was a quote that we didn't get into the piece. He said, you know, you got to remember, this really was a refugee scene. You know, Murphy comes from L.A. Willie comes from Nashville after not making it work in Nashville. He said, Jerry Jeff got run out of Key West. How do you get run out of Key West? Now, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the best way to describe Jerry Jeff's departure from Florida, but it really was people from all over coming here. And maybe that is part of this thing that everybody has always said was so special about Austin. There is room for all kinds. And so when these guys did come here with these other ideas, there was a place for them to incubate it.
Pack up all your dishes, make note of all good wishes, and say goodbye to the landlord for me. But some bitches always bored me. Throw out them L.A. papers and that moldy box of vanilla wafers. Adios to all this concrete. Gonna get me some dirt road back street. I can just get off of this L.A. freeway without getting killed a car. I'll be down a road in a cloud of smoke to some land I ain't bought, and it's his to you, old skinny Dennis. The only one I think I will miss. I can hear that old bass singing sweet and low like a gift you're bringing. Play it for me one more time now. Got to give it all we can now. I believe everything you're saying, and just keep on playing. I can just get off of this L.A. freeway without getting killed a cop. I'll be down a road in a cloud of smoke to some land I ain't bought, and you put the pink card in the mailbox. Leave the key in the front door lock. They'll find it likely as not. I'm sure there's something we have forgot. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry, babe. Love's a gift that's surely handmade. We got something to believe in. Don't you think it's time we're leaving? I can just get off of this L.A. freeway without getting killed a cop. I'll be down a road in a cloud of smoke to some land I ain't bought. If I can just get off of this L.A. freeway without getting killed a cop. Down a road in a cloud of smoke to some land I ain't bought. So pack up all your dishes, make note of all good wishes, and say goodbye to the landlord for me. That son of a bitch is always bored me.
That's Guy Clark's L.A. Freeway, one of 10 songs identified by the staff of Texas Monthly Magazine as essential outlaw country songs. The music that emerged four decades ago from Austin and vicinity forever changed the sound of Texas and American music to boot. Reporter John Spong says although there was plenty of great music out of Austin before the early 70s, the scene that was born here four decades ago changed everything else that's come out of Austin since.
Every different kind of sound that bubbles up here and creates a scene benefits from the fact that these Cosmic Cowboys and Willie and them were the first ones to kind of make a scene here, to kind of put an infrastructure in place that would support them once they got going and doing their thing.
Does the music, cosmic cowboy music, progressive country, regressive country, however you want to, does it survive?
I think absolutely. That was the most fun about working on this, going back and finding some old records that I, you know, actually only, I've got this B.W. Stevenson's first album, which I've only ever had on 8-track. And I did hold on to my 8-tracks a lot longer than a lot of other people did. But now I've got it to where I can listen to it again. And it really means a lot to me. You know, when I graduated from college in 89, I fell in love with that record like one summer in Waco and listened to it all day, every day. And now, and that's 20 years after the fact.
I'm Maria. Don't you know I have come a long, long way? I've been longing to see her. When she's around, she take my blues away. Sweet Maria, the sunlight surely hurts my eyes. I'm a lonely dreamer, lonely highway in disguise. Maria, Maria, love, 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 Maria, love, 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 love.
B.W. Stevenson's original My Maria, an Austin original from 1973. One of 10 essential songs from the Austin music scene of the 70s that changed Texas forever. That's the contention of the Texas Monthly cover story for April 2012 on Outlaw Country. More with reporter John Spong and more of our 10 essential songs as our special edition of Texas Music Matters continues. from Austin. This is Texas Music Matters.
The only two things in life that make it worth living is guitars tuned good and firm feeling women. I don't need my name in the marquee lights. I got my song and I got you with me tonight. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, with Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Newberry's train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain. So baby, let's sell your diamond ring, buy some boots and faded jeans and go away. This coat and tie is choking me, and in your high society you cry all day. We've been so busy keeping up with the Joneses, four-car garage, and we're still building on. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Newberry's train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain.
Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, William Waylon and boys. This successful life we're living's got us feuding like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Between the Hank Williams pain song, Jerry Jeff train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, there ain't nobody feeling no pain.
One of the essential songs of the outlaw country era, according to a cover story in the April 2012 edition of Texas Monthly Magazine. Reporter John Spong is with us. John, you guys had the audacity to put together a list of 10 songs, essential songs. Now, is this your personal list, John, or no?
No, I had input, but it was not my doing.
Good, good, because I'm going to come at you and say, why the heck isn't London Homesick Blues on here?
Well, and so one of the things we wanted to do, not to get too far into the process, but one of the things we wanted to
Go ahead. Get into the process.
If there are songs that are already mentioned in the story at length, we didn't want to put them here. That's why we didn't make it the 10 best songs. We made it 10 essential because when you read the story, you get a lot about how Gary P. Nunn came to write London Homesick Blues.
Right.
But you got to have a Doug Somm song in there. And then we had a big argument about which Doug song to put, because Groover's Paradise is about Austin. Cowboy Peyton Place maybe makes sense. But my thought was, no, let's make it Is Anybody Going to San Antone? Because that's just such a great song that everybody knows, and they might not even, you know, if they know it by the Charlie Pride hit, they may not know that Doug did it, and they don't know it's from this period.
So in a way, what makes it essential also is that it had a kind of larger impact, an impact that was bigger than how cool the song was on its own merit.
Absolutely.
Rain dripping off the brim of my hat, it sure looks cold today. Here I am walking down 66, she hadn't done me this way. Wake up dead, but it sure seemed warmer
Doug Somm's San Antone, the ninth of Texas Monthly's 10 Essential Songs from the Cosmic Cowboy Era. Also making their list, Guy Clark's L.A. Freeway, Waylon Jennings' Are You Sure Hank Done It This Way, and Luckenbach, Texas. Michael Murphy's Cosmic Cowboy Part 1, Sammy Smith's version of Help Me Make It Through the Night, B.W. Stevenson's My Maria, Jerry Jeff Walker's Hill Country Rain, and a pair by Willie Nelson to round out the bunch, Shotgun Willie from 1973, and this song from 1975.
In twilight glow I see blue eyes crying in the rain. When we kissed goodbye and parted, I knew we'd never meet again. Love is like a dying ember, and only memories remain. And through the ages, I'll remember blue eyes crying in the rain.
By the late 1970s, anecdotes of a music scene awash in new wealth and cocaine signaled the end of an era. As the younger folks grew up, as Willie started doing films and Michael Murphy became Michael Martin Murphy, scoring big on the pop charts. Well, by then, it was pretty much over. The Armadillo World Headquarters didn't die for lack of business. The land was worth too much for the bulldozers to be denied. In one sense, the story of the rise and fall of outlaw country can be seen as a much larger metaphor for Austin itself. You begin with something unexpected and organic, which draws in others, and before anyone's realized it, it's grown into something so terrific that at some point, its own success becomes a burden, just too big to bear. Viewed through this lens, the end of the progressive country era in Austin may have been inevitable, but the spirit of 72 lives on nonetheless, in the music, in the celebration of the counterculture, in an attitude of tolerance, and as a place people still migrate to today to make music on their own terms.
I wanna go home with the army.
Texas Music Matters is made possible in part by Lewis Shanks of Texas, offering fine home furnishings since 1945. LewisShanksFurniture.com.
John Spong's article on Outlaw Country, the birth of the music that changed Texas forever, appears in the April 2012 edition of Texas Monthly Magazine, along with that list of essential Texas songs and a top five albums list you'll want to check out. Our thanks to Kathy Casey and the folks at Texas Monthly for their help with today's broadcast. Texas Music Matters is a production of KUT Austin. Our senior producer this week is Art Levy. I'm David Brown. Thanks for joining us.